Good morning. I am going to ruffle some feathers this morning. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to do it because I've ruffled my own feathers this past week. We've arrived at the fourth Sunday in Advent, a Sunday traditionally focusing on love. The love of God, the love of the Lord shining down on us. The love of God desiring a deeper, more committed relationship with us. So much so that he came down to the earth in the form of a baby. So much so that he grew up. He taught people. He went on trial and he died in the most torturous way. All because of love. And the more we realize what Christ did for us, the more we realize how much Christ loves us, the more we are compelled to follow him. So this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, would you open them with me to the Gospel of Luke? We're going to be looking at chapter 1 today, verses 46 through 55. This can be found on page 1589 of your pew Bibles. I made it easy for that. But that's Luke chapter 1. Verses 46 through 55. Hear the word of the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This is the word of the Lord. This is where we are going to ruffle feathers. I was thinking back this week to a song that we sang last Sunday. Sorry, Connie. "Mary, Did You Know?" It's a powerful song. It's a beautiful song, and you sang it wonderfully last week. It was written by... Nope, no buts for us. It was written by Mark Lowry and originally recorded on Michael English's solo album in 1991. I returned home from Women's Fellowship Christmas dinner this past week on a Monday night, and I turned on The Voice. Yes, I like watching The Voice. I like music, and the hosts of the show are a blast to watch. Blake Shelton and Adam Levine are always arguing with one another. They're scheming. It's the best. It's classic. But on The Voice this past Monday, someone decided to sing the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" At the end, he said it was one of his favorite Christmas songs. His favorite Christmas song. People for decades have loved listening to this song. People enjoy hearing this song every year. But I have to ask us, why? Why do we like hearing this song? It's a beautiful song, if you truly understand the beauty in it. But is this song a truthful song? "Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation?" When you think of that, you can't help but say it's an untruthful song. It couldn't be further from the truth. This song shows how much we lack scriptural knowledge, and I don't necessarily mean here, I mean in our culture. Just look at Mary's song from the scriptures we have today. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things in me. Holy is his name." Mary knew something mysterious was happening. She knew that God was at work, and that God was bringing about the promise that every devout Jew had been waiting 2,000 years for. Mary knew that she was having a baby given to her by the Lord. The angel Gabriel said in verse 32 and 33 of this chapter, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." We know that this was on Mary's mind from the very, very beginning. We know Mary was thinking, if this really is an angel, that there's a way for me to find out about it, which is why Mary traveled 70 miles. She went to Elizabeth's house, and it wasn't on a whim. It was to see if what was really happening to her, if what this angel had said, it was to see if it was true. And upon entering Elizabeth's house, we read last week that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby inside her womb leaped for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she shouted, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear." This can be found in chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. Mary knew. There's no question. We shouldn't be asking the question, "Mary, did you know?" Upon hearing this from Elizabeth, she immediately went into this song that we're reading today. She immediately started praising God for what he was doing. She was praising God for keeping this promise throughout the years. And she was praising God because God chose her and decided to use her in his master plan. And Mary continues, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts." Mary, did you know? What we see here is Mary apparently praising God for what he has been doing, but she's also praising God for what he is continually doing. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. This could allude to the 2,000 years that the people of God have been waiting for the promised child to come. But it could also point out to the generations since Christ who have feared the Lord and who have waited on the Lord. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms, scattered those who are proud. Some have gone as far as to say with this set of scripture that Mary wrote this later on in life, that she sang this song after the death and resurrection of Christ. A scholar by the name of Van Harnack popularized a view back in the 1900s that stated that this wasn't even Mary singing this song. Van Harnack was stating that Elizabeth was continuing in her song here, and that she was the one that was making these blessings, since Elizabeth was the one filled with the Holy Spirit upon hearing Mary's greeting. But the evidence, the scholarly evidence for deleting Mary throughout all this is too small. It's extremely small. Mary more than likely was overwhelmed with everything that was going on. She knew that what the angel had said was true. She is seeing her relative, who was known to be barren, now have a child, now be 6 months pregnant. And now, because of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth is prophesying. Elizabeth is screaming out loud, "Blessed be you, Mary." And as I stated last week, Mary is seeing also how God is changing social norms. Mary yells, she prays, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but had lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." But she has also, Mary has also found joy in God's action. Mary has found joy in the fact that God has enabled her to have the child, to become pregnant with the child of messianic hopes, the child that they have been waiting millennia for. And she, Mary, does recognize God's intervention. Mary does know. She does know what it will mean in the future. She doesn't necessarily understand or know that Christ is going to be put on trial and hung on a cross. but she does understand the implications. There is no doubt about this. My God, my Savior. Mary is fully aware. The rulers are brought down and the humble are lifted up. We have to remember the atmosphere of Israel at this time. They were under Roman rule. It wasn't an easy life. The Roman government was smart in that once they conquered a people, they would allow their religious rulers to stay in the area. They knew that by allowing the religion to stay in the area, they could keep order in the area. The devout would still feel that they had the ability to practice their religion, but they weren't able to practice it or do it truly freely. They had to pay taxes. They had to follow the rules of the land, which meant they had to recognize that Caesar was God. It sounds a lot like our society today. And by the coming of Jesus, whether Mary really fully understood the ramifications of what she was saying, because in reality she was probably thinking in terms of the devout Jews, we're going to be free, we're going to have a Lord who breaks the Roman chains. She still understands that the humble followers of the Lord will be lifted up. She was probably thinking in these political terms because they go back to King David. They go back to King Solomon. And while she was probably thinking in these terms, she couldn't have been more right. We are free from the government. We are free from persecution. We are free, but in a different sense. The followers of God were about to find out what true peace really was about. True peace is knowing the Lord in an authentic manner. True peace is walking with God no matter what the circumstances are around you. True peace has nothing to do with those around you. It has to do with who you know. And Jesus is all we have to know. Jesus is the light of the world. And through her, He was coming. I say that she was probably thinking in the terms of a devout Jew and what they were expecting, because we don't necessarily see her being filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't necessarily see the Holy Spirit inspiring this song. It doesn't mean it didn't. But we do know that she sang this song. We do know that she proclaimed it. Luke was writing this book as an introductory lesson to a guy named Theophilus, which was probably a Roman politician, potentially the politician who was overseeing Paul's trials. Luke was writing this book so that Theophilus would know what the Jesus movement was all about, showing Theophilus that Jesus came to earth to fulfill the prophecies of old, the prophecies that all devout Jewish people had been waiting millennia for, and that Jesus did not come to overthrow any government in the sense that most politicians believe. Jesus came to change the hearts and the mindsets of his creation. Jesus came to show his creation what it truly meant to be a follower of him, what it truly meant to have an understanding of who he was. And whether Mary understood it or not, Mary did know. Mary was telling it right here. She knew God had promised this millennia ago, which is why she finishes her song with, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants. Mary did know what was happening, even if she didn't understand fully what that would look like. She knew. She had been waiting for this all of her life. Her ancestors had been waiting for this for millennia. So to ask the question, "Mary, did you know?" Well, it seems kind of foolish. We should be asking the question instead, "Christians, do you know? Christians in America, do you know? Christians in Ohio, do you know? Christians in Jaga, do you know? Christians here at Parkman, did you know that this baby boy came to save the world?" We need to be asking ourselves these questions and not pondering Mary. We go through the season singing songs. We sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. O little town of Bethlehem, go tell it on the mountain. Come thou long expected Jesus, and O come Emmanuel." But we are just, but are we just singing these songs because they remind us of our childhood? Last Friday, Lydia had the opportunity to watch Frosty the Snowman. This past Friday, I showed her Rudolph for the very first time. I wanted her to see these. They were the iconic Christmas shows of my childhood and many of our childhoods here in the sanctuary. They are cartoons that represent what our culture sees as Christmas. And Lydia loved these movies, like children for decades and decades have loved these movies. If your family is anything like my family, then I know not a lot are. But at Christmas time in my family, it's the favorite time of year for all of us. My German grandfather loved it. His six children, their spouses, and his grandchildren would all congregate in his house. We'd walk in the door, and all of a sudden, he'd yell, "Ray." It was, though, not just Ray. It was this bellowing sound, "Ray!" And all my aunts and uncles got into it, and they're doing it now. It's so contagious that even my siblings do it, and my cousins do it. I personally am not a big Rayer. I never have been. But just remembering back to those days, remembering what it was like for me to go to Christmas. Yes, our house's living room was packed with presents. One can't imagine a house packed with so many presents, but when there are 30 plus people there, you can start to imagine. And they covered the tree, they covered the ground, and as kids we loved running through there and just seeing what was going on Christmas morning. We loved running around the house, seeing aunts and uncles sleeping on couches in the family room or the living room or the bar that Grandpa had built in the basement. They slept everywhere. We loved running into the bedrooms, the four bedrooms upstairs that weren't Grandpa's because we couldn't run into his. We were excited to wake up our parents. We were excited to wake up our aunts and uncles. And while Christmas Day is fun, or was fun, it was what led to these memorable moments for me. This is what happened. We had presents, and that was great. But every night leading up to Christmas, my family would sit around in the living room or the dining room or the family room. My uncle would pull out his guitar because he's a musician. They would sit in circles with cookies and milk for us. My aunts, and this is why I laughed at someone at the Christmas thing last week, my aunts would have bows and ribbons in their hair. They were wrapped up just like Lily was last week with bows and ribbons. They would have their bottles of wine in their hands that they were using as microphones to sing all their favorite songs. All their favorite songs from the 60s and 70s. But inevitably, they would get to a point in the night when they would start singing Christmas songs, singing all the ones we know and love, singing them because it reminded them of their childhood, singing them because many aren't believers or they don't act that way in reality, but singing them because it brought them back to a better time, a more peaceful time, a more relaxing time when they didn't have the responsibilities that were expected of them in adulthood. Personally, I know all these songs. I will even join along with singing them. But when Halloween is over and the radio starts playing Christmas music, I start to feel sick in my head. I get annoyed. I get frustrated. I do that partly because Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. Turkey, gravy, stuffing, pie. But I also do it because do we really mean what we're singing? Do we really mean it when we get to these songs? People, did you know? People, do you know? Our holiday songs are mostly focused on Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, go tell it on the mountain, come thou long expected Jesus, O come Emmanuel, and many, many more. These are beautiful songs, especially if you are musically inclined and are able to understand the theology behind the way they're put together. They are beautiful songs because when sung in a group, they sound beautiful. But when so many claim they are Christians, but they can't claim that they follow Christ, I have to admit, these Christmas songs become frustrating. I don't like Christmas songs for that reason. People sing them and crowds love them, just like on The Voice. Everyone in the audience loved it when that person sang the song, Mary, Did You Know? They loved it. But when it comes to saying Merry Christmas in public, they don't want to hear it. Mary, did you know that your baby boy came to save the earth? Merry Christmas. They're offended by Merry Christmas. They love these songs because artistically they sound good, but do they really understand what they mean? Do they really get what it points to? That is the question each one of us needs to ask ourselves this morning. It's not Mary, did you know? It's Parkman, did you know? Or more appropriately, Parkman, do you know? It's this time of year that we come and focus on Christ. But it's also this time of year that we come to remember the simpler times when families gather around and they eat their cookies and they sing their songs and they watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and they watch Frosty the Snowman and Elf. And while those are important, are we coming together this time of year and remembering what the Lord did for us? While gathering with our friends and family, it's good, but it's not the true meaning of this time of year. And if we don't remember the fact that God came to earth, if we don't remember the fact that the Lord walked here, and we don't allow that to permeate our entire being, can we really say we're followers of Christ? We might have a belief, but a belief without anything else is shallow. It's not real. Beliefs require an action of some kind. At the very least, it requires a change in mindset. So, Parkman, do you know that Christ came to save you, to make us right in the eyes of the Lord, to show us what a true relationship with the Lord looks like, to show us that God really wants a relationship with us. He desires a true relationship with us. We are entering a joyous week for many and a sad week for many others, a time when friends and family gather. Thursday at 7 p.m., we have our Christmas Eve service here. I'm excited. I'm excited because it points to the fact that Christ was born here in the world, fulfilling this millennia-old promise given to Abraham. But I'm also excited because I know family and friends are great. They are. But serving the Lord, following the Lord, that is more important. Jesus said, "Who are my mother and brothers?" And he answered it with, "My mother and brothers are those who serve the Lord." That's a powerful response. It's a response that gives us something to think about. Do we know? Do we believe? Does our belief take action? Are we ready to do what the Lord asks of us, whatever that means? Which is why Mary knew. And she responded appropriately to what the angel had told her. I am a servant of God. Mary knew what it meant for the Lord's millennia-old promise to be fulfilled. And that is why her song here is so powerful. It shows the fulfillment of God's promise. The promise that Jews have been waiting generations to see fulfilled. But also a promise that will go on with followers of Christ until the end of mankind. Because God said, through your descendants, all nations will be blessed. Mary understood what that meant. And upon Elizabeth confirming her pregnancy, there was nothing else Mary could do but sing. Sing of God's greatness. Sing of how God always keeps his promises. Sing of how God is faithful and how God never forgets his people. of how others, of how God is continuously showing mercy on us. That is the real reason for the season. It's not about presents or family or holidays or school days off or work days off. I have to work Christmas Eve as well. A little bit. But it's about God fulfilling his promise. It's about God showing us love, even when we're constantly turning our backs on him, which even the best of followers do, probably daily. And he still stepped down to earth to save us. He still stepped down to earth to show us what it really looks like, because it is about God doing the work. It's about him calling us. It's about him sanctifying us, and he gives us the wisdom and strength to go out and bring our actions to beliefs. This is the reason for the season. This is what we should all be focused on. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come before you today, thanking you for stepping out of heaven, thanking you for walking the earth, for coming to people like me, Lord, and just being there with me. We ask that you continue to shine a light on those. You use us to be the lights you need to send out to a lost and dying world. You are so awesome, God, and if we could only just keep part of our focus on you this holiday season, you would be glorified. People would see a difference, and people would be drawn to you. We just thank you for being called your sons and daughters. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.